Good morning, everyone. We're going to make a start just to our service of worship today by singing together the hymn number 302 in your hymn book, the hymn number 302. You'll find it on the page 298. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, and these are red, with joy shall I lift up my head. The hymn number 302, the page 303, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, in thy presence the Sabbath morning. We come to thee in no merit of our own. But Father, we come upon redemption ground today, the ground of peace, the ground of pardon, the ground of hope, the ground of victory. And we thank thee for that redemption that was purchased for us by thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, who come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank thee that Christ died for us, the ungodly, upon the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank thee for that atoning blood that he shed, that precious blood, that sinless blood that he shed for our redemption. And Father, we thank thee that on the cross of Calvary he cried out, "It is finished." He offered a once for all a sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank that Christ triumphed over death, over sin, over hell, over the grave, over the devil himself. We thank thee that he defeated all his purposes and plans and schemes when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross, because he rose again victorious the third day, and he is alive forevermore. And Father, we thank Thee today that we serve and we worship a risen Savior, one who died for us, but one who has risen again, who is at Thy right hand in heaven's glory, the one who is our great High Priest, the one who intercedes for us, and the one who is coming back again in power and in great glory. And we rejoice, O God, today as Thy people in the forgiveness of all of our sins through the blood of Christ. We rejoice, O God, in that great hope of everlasting life through faith in Christ our Redeemer. Christ could say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life." We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we have grace through Christ to meet our need. Now we thank Thee, O God, that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that we are complete in Him. We thank Thee for that perfect robe of righteousness that He has imputed to us. And we thank Thee that truly we can say with Thy servant of old that Christ is indeed Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And Father, we thank that we are accepted before Thee. And we thank Thee that as Thy people who are saved today, we have nothing to fear on the day of judgment. For Thy word declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we thank Thee, O God, today for the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just ask Thee, O God, at the very outset of this meeting, that Thou will draw near. And Lord, pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon us today around Thy word and in the season of worship. We pray, Lord, that we might know a gracious sense of Thy presence. And Lord, we pray that Thy speaking voice will be heard in every heart, young and old alike. We thank Thee for all who have gathered with us today in Thy house. And bless everyone with us here today, every believer, every child of God. Encourage and strengthen and bless and edify Thy people. And for any, Lord, who are with us today not saved, do speak to them. And Father, may this day be the day of their salvation. For any, Lord, who may be cold at heart, give that restoring grace that comes from Thyself, O Lord, we pray. For any, Lord, needing a word of counsel or guidance, teach them and direct them in the path that Thou hast for them, O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we think of those that are unable to come because of age and sickness and infirmity. Lord, bless them, minister to them. Those that are in hospital today, lay on Thy healing hand upon them, we pray. For others who mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times, give comfort and strength and help in their time of need, we ask. Remember others who may be listening in online today, whoever they are, whatever their circumstances are, draw near and meet them at the point of their need. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt visit our meetings here today, even with salvation power and saving grace in a mighty way. We thank Thee for our Sabbath school this morning. Bless the ministry of Thy truth to our children, our young people. Remember all the children's meetings that have taken place in the youth fellowship in the week that has gone by. Again, bless Thy word, especially to our children and our young people. And we pray that they might grow up to be a generation who follow the Lord, who serve the Lord, who trust the Lord, who live for the Lord, we pray. And again, Lord, remember every other outreach from this congregation. In whatever form, we pray, own it and bless it and use it in this part of Thy vineyard, we ask, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Remember our land today and all of its need. Bless all our sister congregations, and wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that Thou wilt bless it and prosper it to the salvation of souls, the strengthening of Thy cause. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries today, those that labor at home and those that are far from home in other foreign lands. Lord, bless them, minister to their needs and encourage them. Keep them in good health and strength, and bless them in these days of Christian service and days of great gospel opportunity, we ask. And Father in heaven, we do pray for those that would rule in our land. Have mercy upon them. Lord, may they rule in righteousness and in the fear of God and in accordance with Thy word. And Lord, those that would seek to promote laws that are evil and contrary to Thy word, we pray that Thou would bring their plans and schemes, O God, to nothing, and that Thou would set, as it were, roadblocks in their path, we ask. Now we pray, Lord, for our king and the royal family, Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And we pray that the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household, and that their darkened hearts might be touched and lightened, and in the knowledge of Christ, we do pray. We remember, O God, our land today and all of its need, and we would pray for revival, and pray for days of reformation and quickening again, and that the hearts of many would be turned unto the Lord. Help us today to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Grant, O God, that thou would help us to take our eyes off ourselves and of man. We thank thee that thou art the great I am, that thou art almighty, that thou art all-powerful, and that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And help us in every extremity of life to cast our care upon the Lord, to cry to the God of heaven, the Most High God, that performeth all things for the people of God. Bless this season of worship. Lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit. We pray for a very gracious, conscious sense of thy presence. And as we gather later around thy table and remember Calvary and break bread, we pray, draw near, O God, and Lord, quicken us and conform us more and more to the image of Christ. And may we go home rejoicing today like those of old, of whom it was said, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Have thy way now among us, lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us afresh in the Savior's blood. Pour out thy Spirit upon us and minister to every waiting heart. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Turning again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 39, the page 191. God moves in a mysterious way, has wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Hymn number 39, the page 191, will stand as we sing. This morning in God's Word for our Bible reading to Genesis chapter 41 and to the verse number 37, reading some verses from that chapter, and then turning also over to Psalm 119 and reading some verses as well from that Psalm. beginning our reading just at the verse number 57. So if you'd like to mark those two passages, first of all, Genesis 41, verse 37, and then Psalm 119, and the verse number 57. We'll read first of all from Genesis 41 and the verse number 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, a priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Then turning over to Psalm 119 and the verse number 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Amen. And may God add his own blessing to these readings of his precious and holy and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see all who have gathered with us today. And we bid you welcome. If you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visit us, to share in our fellowship. If you're a believer, may you be drawn closer to the Lord. If you're not saved today, may this be the day of your salvation. And we welcome also those who are viewing online. We thank you for joining with us as well. We pray the Lord will bless you as the Lord alone would see your need. The announcements for the week are as follows. Remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 in the prayer room at the front there. Encourage as many as possible to gather for prayer. And then tonight at 7 p.m., our gospel service will be the form of the annual Parents' Night for Bethel Children's Crusade. The children from the various children's meetings will be coming together. They'll be taking part. And their guest speaker as well is Mr. David Cahoon from Dungannon. So do pray for this meeting. Do make it known. And do all you can to invite and encourage others in, and pray that God will help and bless all the boys and girls and young people as they take part in that service. Can I just also say, on account of the children being around tonight, just be careful also when you're driving up around the church and parking cars, so do just remember that as well. Today being first Sunday of the month is Building Fund Offering, so do remember that, please. Tuesday night, 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting night. It's a special deputation meeting for the work of the Youth Council. Our brother, Mr. Richard Edwards, will be speaking and bringing that report and the need of that work before us. And then there'll also be an offering for that work. So do remember that. Encourage as many as possible to come along. The Youth Council does a sterling work amongst our young people throughout our various congregations. Also, this coming Friday evening, Youth Fellowship are planning a trip to Craigavon to Airtastic, and all young people are welcome to come along. And the bus will be leaving the church car park here at 5:15, and we're returning around about 10:30 or so in the evening. All young people are welcome, and for information, contact our youth leader, Mr. Ian Moore. Also, this coming Friday at 11 a.m. will be the monthly open-air gospel witness in the Diamond and in Enniskillen, so do remember that, pray for it. If you can join with us for that half hour or so, if you're in the town, we'll be delighted of your support and fellowship. Next Lord's Day, the 11th of December, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel service, 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and we have been long to bring God's Word. The ladies' fellowship dinner will be Monday night, the 12th of December, 7 p.m. in the restaurant at the Mart. All ladies are welcome, and if you're going, put your name on the sheet, and but ask just that all monies be with our sister, Mrs. June Scott, by Saturday, please. Do pray for the calendar distribution next weekend, next week from the 12th to the 16th of December. Pray that God will bless this. And again, if you can help in any way, let us know. Or if there's a particular area you want to do around where you live or whatever, let us know. And we can give you the calendars. We're giving out a wee tract as well, and also an invite for our carol service. And do pray also for Brother Keith. He'll be involved in calendar distribution around the March next week as well in Fermanagh and in Tyrone. Our annual carol service will be this night, fortnight, the Lord's Day, the 18th of December, 7 p.m. There are wee invitation cards for that out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, give them out, and pray that many will gather in that evening under the sound of God's Word. The annual Covenanter trip next year will be to the Isle of Lewis from the 8th to the 12th of May, 2023. And for information regarding that, either contact the Reverend David Park, Ballymoney, or Mrs. Christine Story. Our annual financial report for 2021 is available. It's out there on the table in the porch. And again, I want to thank you on behalf of the committee, to you as a congregation, for your faithful support and giving throughout last year. Thanks also to our treasurer, Mr. Raymond Medill, for all his work and input, and Mr. Ian Moore as well for compiling the report for 2021. And then just as a church, we'd like to congratulate Reverend Gordon Cook on his 90th birthday yesterday, and assure him of our prayers and best wishes for the coming days, that God's hand of blessing and of grace will be upon him for good. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 413. 413, can I just also say, immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, the Lord invites you to remember His death in His own appointed way, and trust as many as possible be able to stay for that time around the table of the Lord. 413, take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting and nothing His blessing to seek. We'll keep our seats for the early part of this hymn. Again, we don't take up an offering, but the offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that also as you leave. 413, remaining seated while we sing.
Thank you.
turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Genesis 41, Genesis chapter 41. Do also pray, please, for Brother Mr. Colin Maxwell as he takes his brother's funeral service tomorrow. That's tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. in Brown's Funeral Parlour in the Newton Arch Road in Belfast. Pray that help and grace will be given and that even hearts will be open to the Word of God and the truth of the Gospel in that occasion. It's Genesis chapter 41. With God's word open before us, let us please bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence again this morning in the Saviour's name. We thank thee for that sense of thy presence already with us, the reading of your word, the singing of the praises of our God. Lord, as we come now to consider thy word, still every heart before thee. Lord, take away anything that would hinder us hearing thy voice this morning. Cleanse our hearts afresh, outpour thy Spirit upon us. Bless thy word to the strengthening of saints, to the saving of sinners, and to the exaltation of thy name. Fill me now afresh with the Holy Ghost. Undertake, lead and guide and direct, and may nothing be said that is not of thee. And let the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified amongst us here today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text for today you'll find in verse 39 and verse number 40 of Genesis chapter 41. It says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." It has been said that every cloud has a silver lining. This was certainly so with Joseph, for Genesis chapter 41 tells us about a dramatic change in the circumstances concerning Joseph's life. Now, prior to this, Joseph was hated, he was stolen, he was slandered, he was imprisoned, and he was forgotten. But now the table turns and we read of him coming forth from prison to become prime minister in the land of Egypt in a very short space of time. The chapter tells of Pharaoh's two dreams and Joseph's interpretation of those dreams through God's help. Joseph then, he warns Pharaoh of the forthcoming famine and to save the people from terrible death and destruction. Joseph, he tells Pharaoh to appoint a wise man over the land to gather in the store so that the people could have food and provision in the time of famine. And we see how Pharaoh, he heeds this advice and he appoints Joseph himself to oversee the ingathering of the food and the provisions. And you really see that in our text today, verse 39 and verse 40. Where it says, "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Now this appointment by Pharaoh was really the best government appointment that Pharaoh was ever to make, because Joseph himself was a godly young man. And you see that from what Pharaoh says in particular about Joseph at the end of verse 38 of the chapter. He says, "Can we find such a one as this, a man on whom the Spirit of God is?" And Joseph was a man who stood apart for the Lord, and it was noticed even by Pharaoh. And remember, Pharaoh was a most ungodly and a most wicked man, yet he knew there was something special here about Joseph, and that he was a man of God. And it was the best appointment he was ever to make in his government and in the ruling of the nation. You know, we can say the same really applies to every walk of life. When godly people are in roles of leadership, then God will bless. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, it says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule,
the people mourn. Joseph's appointment to prime minister here in Egypt is really an encouragement to all who will live a godly life, because the Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. And this was certainly the case in Joseph and his life and his promotion to prime minister in the land of Egypt. And today, as we would look at Joseph as prime minister in the land of Egypt, there are four thoughts I want to share with you. And I trust, believer, this will be an encouragement to you as you seek to live for Christ in our day and generation. You'll notice, first of all, here with me, the authorization for Joseph to be prime minister. And you see that in verse 40 and verse 41 of the chapter. Here you have Pharaoh speaking to Joseph. And he says, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Now, as a result of his upright life, we see here how God in his providence, he intervenes and he moves the hand of Pharaoh to make Joseph prime minister in the land. Joseph is second only to Pharaoh, the king, the ruler. And child of God, likewise, learn from this that whenever you obey the Lord and live a life that is separate from sin and the evil ways of this world, a life that glorifies God, then the Lord will bless you. And the Lord also, not only will he bless you, he will make you a blessing to others. You remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 84, verse 11. He says, "Our the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." In this promotion, yes, Joseph, he was made a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Prior to this, Joseph was a young man who had been faithful to God in his home and in his family. As a young man, he had been faithful to God as a servant, as a slave in the house of Potiphar. And as a young man, as a young Christian, he was faithful to God down in the dungeon in the land of Egypt. And by his faithfulness, even in these obscure places, God now opens for him this great door of being ruler in the land and in the kingdom of Egypt at that time. Likewise, dear believer in Christ, whenever you're faithful to the Lord, even in the small things, yes, the Lord will give you greater doors of opportunity to serve him and to be used for him and by him and for his honor and glory. Yes, it has rightly been said that faithfulness in the little things is a big thing with God. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke of that one who was faithful and using the five talents in Matthew 25 and the verse number 21. He said these words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And that servant, yes, was faithful in using the five talents that God had given him. And the Lord says, "I will make thee ruler over many things." He would give him greater opportunities to serve him and to live for the Lord. We see, yes, the authorization for Joseph to become prime minister. But notice, secondly, notice the time when Joseph was to become prime minister. In verse number 41, Pharaoh speaks to Joseph and he says, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." When did this take place in the life of Joseph? Well, if you go down to verse 46 of the chapter, you see that it happened when Joseph was 30 years of age. It says, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, a king of Egypt." And this tells us something very important about Joseph at this time. It tells us that Joseph had spent 13 years in prison prior to this appointment. And this really shows us that God appointed his release at the right time. And in all of this, Joseph, he learned patience. He learned what it meant for him as a Christian to wait upon God. For when he was 17 years of age, he was taken captive, made a slave, and subsequently maligned and slandered and put into prison. And for 13 years, he waited upon God, and he learned in the school of patience. Believer, you and I also, yes, we also need to learn patience. As Christians, that's vital for the life of the Christian. We have to learn as Christians what it means to wait upon the Lord for our personal life and in God's work. The Bible says, he that believeth shall not make haste. The Bible says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And there are many Christians in life, and they make spiritual shipwreck of their life. Why? Because they act with due haste. They're hasty in making certain decisions of life. They act rashly or impetuously, without thought, without care and concern. And they make shipwreck in their life as a Christian. Child of God, believer in the meeting this morning, and all the important decisions of life, Christian, learn to wait upon God. Learn to be patient. By prayer, yes, by the reading of God's word. Wait upon God to direct you. Wait upon God to open up doors at the right time, at his appointed time. And when you act and move in accordance with God's word, there'll be no mistakes, there'll be no regrets, because the Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. You turn with me over to Psalm 37, Psalm number 37, and it is a psalm that has much to teach us as Christians regarding this matter of waiting upon God. Psalm 37, and look at what we read in verse 5 and verse 7 of the psalm. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he, that's the Lord, shall bring it to pass. Rest, verse 7, in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. We're to commit our ways, our situations to the Lord in prayer and faith. We're to rest upon the Lord. We're to wait upon the Lord for the Lord to bring those things to pass that concern us in life as believers. And again, the thought is emphasized further on down the psalm. Look at verse number 9. It says, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Go down to verse 34 of the psalm again. The thought is the same. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. How important then it is for you and I as Christians to be patient and to wait patiently upon the Lord in prayer and faith and in seeking his guidance and direction through his word. My commenting upon this matter of Joseph and his patient waiting for some 13 years before he gets out of prison and takes up the role as prime minister in the land. F.B. Meyer, he said these words, he says, everything comes only to those who can wait, emphasizing the need of the Christian learning patience and waiting upon God. The hymn writer we were just singing earlier on says, take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him whate'er betide. In joy and sorrow still follow the Lord, looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. We are to patiently wait upon the Lord. Yes, the authorization of his appointment to prime minister, the time of his appointment to prime minister. But notice thirdly here today, notice the qualifications of Joseph for prime minister. And you see those qualifications outlined for us in verse 39 and verse number 40 of Genesis 41, our text for today. Look at what it says. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than this. Back in verse 38 as well, we see there how Pharaoh says to Joseph, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And there we see how Joseph was qualified for the work before him. not through anything of his own ability, but through God's grace, God's help, God's enablement, the Spirit of the Lord. And Pharaoh, he realized this. He realized that Joseph was qualified by God for the need of the hour. He says in verse 38, "Can we find such a one as this, a man on whom the Spirit of God is?" The end of verse 39, he says, "There is none so discreet," he says, "and wise as thou art." And why had Joseph such qualifications? Well, you see, God had been preparing Joseph for this task, for this work, for 13 years. In the school of pain, the school of suffering, the school of hardship, the school of affliction in the prison. And here we see the truth that God always prepares his people for the task he gives them to do. Before a soldier goes out into battle, that soldier trains to fight with the enemy. Presently in the mainland of Britain, Ukrainian soldiers are being trained for the war with Russia at this present time. And likewise, Christian, whenever God gives you a work to do, he will train you, he will equip you, he will prepare you, he will give you the wherewithal, as it were, to do that work. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and the verse number 36. And this is what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Say ye of him," it says, "whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world." Notice what it says of Christ, "whom the Father hath sanctified." And that shows us that Christ was sanctified, prepared, set apart by God for the work that he was to do for his heavenly Father here on earth. You study the earthly life of Moses, the great leader in Israel, bringing Israel out of bondage to the promised land. And the Bible tells us how he was in the 40 years in the wilderness, in the backside of the desert, being prepared by God for that great work of leading Israel on toward the promised land. And during those 40 years of testing and trial, my God was qualifying Moses. He was preparing Moses for the task in hand. And believer in Christ, do not complain at God's sanctifying purpose in your life as a believer. Even when things seem difficult, maybe hard, maybe unpleasant, remember this, God is preparing you. God is training you for greater Christian service and greater Christian work. It was J.C. Ryle who said, "There are no lessons so useful as those lessons that the Christian learns in the school of affliction." You remember the words of James to God's people in their time of trial? He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers," or if you like, different temptations, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look with me, please, there at the verse number 7 of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 7. And Peter again is writing to Christians who were going through a time of deep, deep trial, a fiery trial for their faith and their witness for Christ. And maybe they questioned, "Why? Why me? Why my home? Why my family? Why my church?" So to speak. And Peter brings it home to him, the purpose, the reason behind it all. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 7, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And there he reminds them that the trial of their faith was really for the perfecting and the purifying of their faith as God's children, as they sought to live for God and prepare for Christian service and look forward in faith to the coming of the Lord. And the Lord, he was preparing Joseph for 13 years in obscurity, in darkness, in bondage, in imprisonment, in servitude and hardship, but preparing him for a greater work that he was to do for God in the land of Egypt. Notice one final thought just in connection with our text this morning. Notice the supply for Joseph as prime minister. Look at verse number 42 and verse number 43 of Genesis chapter number 41. Look at what it says. It says, "And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, 'Bow the knee.' And he made him," notice what it says, "ruler over all the land of Egypt." And there again you see how true Pharaoh, God intervenes and God supplies all, everything that Joseph needs at this time to be prime minister and to rule in that position in the land, second only to Pharaoh the king. God supplied and God met the need. And Christian, realize this, that whenever God gives you a task to do, whatever that task is, he will supply the means. He will supply the wherewithal. And he will meet your every need in that task, in that work that he gives you to do. Whatever it is, God will never leave you lacking. God will meet the need. You think of the words of Paul as he writes to the church at Philippi. He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He knew the strength of the Lord in his service for God. Turn with me over to that chapter, Philippians chapter 4, and go down there just to the verse number 19 of that chapter, and mark it, dear believer, in your Bible. It'll be an encouragement to you in your service for God in times of need. And this was Paul's encouragement to the Christians in Philippi, because he had proved the Lord. He had known the Lord's provision. And this is his word to you and I also, believers today, in serving the Lord and living for the Lord. In Philippians 4 verse 19 he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Notice what it says, all your need, every need, his hand will supply, says the hymn writer. There is no lack with God. God is gracious. God is full. God is liberal in his giving to his people in all their needs and all their concerns and all their service for him. You remember again the words of the psalmist in Psalm 60 verses 11 and 12. He said, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. True God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." He says, "Through God, we shall do valiantly." Believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, let me say this. Do not let the fear of man keep you back from serving the Lord and doing the will of God. Do not let the fear, as it were, of your own lack or your own inability hold you back from serving the Lord and doing the will of God that he has shown you and called you to do. Christian, whenever you take that step of faith and obey the Lord, God will provide. God will undertake. You remember the children of Israel when they were on the verge or are leaving Egypt, going towards the promised land. They had to cross the river Jordan. The Jordan was in full flood. Humanly speaking, it was impossible for someone to cross the river safely at that time. But God commanded them to step forward in faith. And once they stepped forward in faith and put their foot, as it were, down into the edge of the river, God opened up the way. God provided. And God, he met every need along the way. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, "I am the Lord. I change not." You remember again Gideon. God was calling Gideon. God was giving him a work to do to lead Israel at a time of great need when they were being plundered and invaded by the Midianites. And God had spoken to Gideon very plainly and definitely about this, but Gideon was holding back. He was reticent. He was shy of doing the Lord's will and doing the Lord's bidding. But God gave him a great promise in Judges chapter 6, verses 14 and 16. He said this, "Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? Surely I will be with thee. The God of heaven promise to be with Gideon and to meet his every need in that task. Turning your Bible back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And look at verse number 6 and mark this verse in your Bible, dear believer. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake." That was the Lord's promise to ancient Israel and the verge of the promised land. Believer, that's the Lord's promise to you and I in this meeting today as we seek to serve the Lord, to live for him. It says, "Be strong, be of good courage." The Lord says, "I will be with thee. I will go with thee." And says, "He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee." God does not fail. He does not forsake. He does not cast off his people. Many years ago, there was a certain Christian who was involved in God's work. And it was quite a large aspect of God's work that he was involved in. There was many needs, there was many, many concerns regarding that work. He was asked, "How do you cope with that work and all the concerns and all the demands?" And he said these words in reply to that question. He says, "45 years ago I decided that God's promise of Matthew 6 verse 33 was sure. And in that promise Christ says these words, 'But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.'" Believer in Christ, in our meeting today, let me say this, that same promise still holds good for you and I today as God's people. Oh, believer, let nothing or let no one hold you back from doing God's will, from serving God and obeying the Lord. Remember that one of the great names to the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord provides. The Lord meets every need. That's how it was here with Joseph and becoming prime minister in the land. Remember, he had come into Egypt as a slave. He had nothing. No resources of his own whatsoever. But God met him at the point of his need. God equipped him. God enabled him. And God provided for him. Likewise, believer, God can help you, bless you, equip you, enable you, provide for you day by day as you seek to serve the Lord and do the will of God. Dear unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, let me say this. If you are to know the joy of your sins forgiven, if you are to know grace to live for Christ here on earth and serve him and be sure of heaven, then now in time as a repentant sinner, you must come by faith to Christ and rest and trust in the atoning blood of Christ shed at Calvary's cross to wash away your sins. And praise God, when you trust in Christ, God will forgive all your sins. God will equip you and enable you to serve him here on earth. And God will guarantee you a place in heaven forevermore. He'll save you from a lost eternity and fit you for glory and for home. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The hymn writer says, "Though thy sins be red like crimson and deep in scarlet glow, Jesus' precious blood shall wash thee," says the hymn writer, "white as snow." Unsaved friend, unsaved, come to the Lord today. Trust him. Know your sins forgiven, put away by the blood of Christ. And seek by God's grace to prove the Lord, depend upon the Lord, and to serve him day by day. We'll just close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us today around thy word. We thank thee for the lessons that thou hast showed us even today in Joseph's life regarding a God in heaven who does not fail nor forsake or cast off his people. Help us, Lord, as your people to rest upon him day by day, for God is faithful. God will provide.
Help us to depend upon thee, to seek first the kingdom of God. And for any in our gathering today not saved, speak on to their hearts. And oh, that today they would come to Christ, that they would trust him, whom to know is life eternal. Bless us around the table of the Lord this morning. Bless all who will stay as we remember what Christ has done for us. For any who cannot stay, give them traveling mercies. Bless us throughout this day. And return us again in thy will this evening hour. We ask, we pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. We're going to turn, please, to our closing hymn. It's hymn number 518. 518. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. He is to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus, and none but you can do. We'll stand as we sing after the singing of the first verse. And of course, I'll be going to the door. If you cannot stay for the Lord's table, we'll be there to greet you as you leave. But we would encourage as many as possible to stay behind and to remember the Lord's death and his own appointed way. 518, standing as we sing.